Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
Hey, Wisconsin. We are back on a Monday night for another edition of Nightlight. The long, grueling weekend is over, and we finally get back on the air to talk about the things that bring us together after a crazy weekend and now a crazy week. So we have one of the reasons I love doing this show. I was in a restaurant the other night when I saw what had happened to former President Trump, and the volume level in the restaurant was crazy. And all of a sudden, it like died down, and we looked at the TV, and I was like, oh my gosh. So we will see what happens. But right now, let's just put it in, let's put it in chill gear and talk some movies and TV. This hour, we are preempted on the radio by the RNC and all the goings on down in Milwaukee. So we are going to play some curated best of bits here that I will introduce live. And then in the second hour, we have Gizmo joining us. He is a magician and will join us here live in studio at 8:05 to do some radio magic. We'll have a fun little contest with Gizmo. Right now, I'm going to play a clip from a couple weeks ago when we had Mike Schmidt, the very funny Mike Schmidt, on Nightlight. Have you seen Heavy Metal?
You know what's funny? I'm glad you brought it up, because if you didn't, I was just going to yell at you for no reason, but now I get to yell at you because you asked.
Love it. Love that I earned
it. I can't believe you're my age from the Midwest and you didn't see Heavy Metal at least 10 times. What is wrong with you?
You know, I'm going to stop you. I've owned
the soundtrack on vinyl, cassette, and CD. I mean, seriously.
Okay.
Yeah. So whoever wrote this in, yes, he's absolutely right. And I'm stunned you haven't seen
There's like three people that said Heavy Metal tonight. And I'm going to be honest, Mike, Heavy Metal scared me as a youth.
Really?
Metallica, they look so scary and just sound like, I'm like, I don't know what to make of these. And then I get older and I'm like, God, they're just, the name is just crazy. They have good songs, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. Well, Heavy Metal, the movie's from like 82. That's pre-Metallica. So so 82 is Judas Priest and all that. But I mean, dude, the soundtrack has Sammy Hagar. The soundtrack has Cheap Trick, one of the best Cheap Trick songs ever, Reach Out and Take It. Yeah. It's just phenomenal. Don Felder. I mean, it's not heavy metal music like Crazy Murder. It's like, do you know what Heavy Metal Magazine was? Do you know that?
No.
Okay, Heavy Metal Magazine was, are you familiar? All right, we're going to ask more questions. Are you familiar with the illustrated Conan O'Brien or Creepy magazines, or Evil? There was Creepy and Evil were magazines. Those Frank Frazetta, Big Muscles and Half Naked Chicks, those magazines?
Mike, I know Mad and Cracked. That's where my literary knowledge ends there, sadly.
Well, and those are great. But these fantasy magazines, Heavy Metal was one of those. And it would have these like, you know, half naked women space pirates fighting three-headed dragons, and you know, with like nipples bursting through sheer costumes and hand-drawn, brilliant. Again, Frank Frazetta, total over the top muscles and fighting. And then they made, so the Heavy Metal people made the movie, and it's in the animation style of the actual magazine. And there's a ton of nudity, a ton of nude ladies.
Conrad, take a memo.
Nude ladies and Black Sabbath. I mean, what more do I have to tell you, sir?
Listen.
That's it. That's a party.
I don't like immorality, Mike. I don't like, wow. Listen, I got to check
changed.
It out. Because I don't know. What have you heard?
I've known you a long time, buddy.
I have American Pop, too, is another one. I remember seeing the ads for it in the late 70s, I think. Maybe it was 1980.
Yeah.
And I was too young to see it, you know, and I just never saw it. So that's been on my, I always thought that looked kind of cool.
That's a Ralph Bakshi, I believe.
Okay.
Have you seen Fritz the Cat?
No.
Oh, see that set the tone for all sorts of like adult animations back in the 70s/80s.
Okay.
What are you doing? What are you doing with yourself? Stop interviewing people and start educating yourself.
Like a lot of scripture and retreats and that kind of thing, Mike.
Right. Watching Willie Ames and Bible Man. You're doing all that cool stuff.
Love Willie Ames and Scott Baio.
Yeah, you should, but heavy metal is an absolute must see. And I'll bet at this point, Joe could watch it. You know, I don't know how you are with what he sees, but he's old enough, man, where he could absolutely, he probably even seen it.
Mike. Okay. To give you some idea of how different raising kids is now, at least in our house, I was watching Joe's first of all, 23. So he watches everything.
I know.
Drops F bombs in front of me. I've lost control of the whole, and we're watching Saltburn about 2 months ago. And my daughter, who's 18, comes in and says, "Have you seen the bathtub scene yet?" Like, I go, "No." And then I saw it and I was horrified. But they don't even watch the movies. They're just like seeing clips online. And it's just crazy.
Well, to that, I literally, the only thing I've seen from Saltburn is the bathtub scene.
Yeah.
I saw it on social media and then I just went, that doesn't look like it's for me. Probably. I'm going to go ahead and skip Saltburn and then talk to our friend, mutual friend, Pat, who saw it. And he wrote me and he's like, can I spoil something or shall I not?
It's been out for months. You can spoil.
Okay.
Just all I know is
I was like, "Hey, Saltburn, did you sit through it?" Cause he saw it in the theater.
Oh, wow.
So he's in a room full of people being uncomfortable at the bathtub scene. And he goes, "Did you see Talented Mr. Ripley?" And I said, "Yes." He goes, "It's that. You don't need to watch this. It's a bad, gross version of Talented Mr. Ripley." And I was like, "All right, yeah, and I'll take his word for it." And then even when it came on streaming, I'm weird. Like if something comes out and there's a big buzz, if I don't see it quick and it falls out of that zeitgeisty type of thing, I'll pass. And it's my own fault. Like I've never seen Game of Thrones.
That's how it was with me in heavy metal. No, you know what? Game of Thrones, though, I did. I saw it. I was late to the party, but I did watch Game of Thrones and I watched all the seasons and I see it's a little addicting and it's not terrible. It's a little gratuitous, but so was Saltburn. But her film before that, Promising Young Woman, was great. And
boy, I liked it.
Yeah. And there were parts of Saltburn. It kind of had me. And then it just got like, oh, come on. It just got too much, you know?
Really?
Anyway. Yeah. For me. But
yeah, I hear you. Well, I mean, not just for you, man. I heard it from a lot. It's one of those polarizing, you know what I mean? I just saw a movie like that last night that I'd heard a lot about it and then I decided I would watch it and I was transfixed. Like I love it.
What was the movie?
I want to talk to everybody about it.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
And, I saw it yesterday. And again, it's been out a month, maybe, I think.
Yep.
And I heard a lot about it, you know, like I said, I'm very careful not to, like, I'll watch one trailer for a movie and then I'm out. I don't want to see you exposing more and more of the plot or the things. And also I don't pay attention to the discourse until I've seen it. Like usually I'll see the movie and then I'll go search all the discourse and see what everybody said and the plots are surmising all that. But I had a general knowledge that this was in the air, like in the zeitgeist, like I said. So I watched it last night and boy, I mean, it's a beautiful film. It's really, it's, you know, a little psychological drama, horror. And it hits, there's themes and there's it's an apocryphal and there's all sorts of different things. I don't want to give things away, but I'm seeing the discourse now and it's very divisive. There are people who are like, they shake their fist at it. Then there are people who are like, it's very important to them. And I understand why. And I say when I watched it, I got to be honest, I didn't pick up on the metaphor specifically, but I picked up on a metaphor and I was close. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So the plot itself,
see it. Yeah,
it's real good. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, and the performances, there's really only like six actors in it, but they're just, I mean, the two leads are amazing. And it's so beautiful. I really found it very much reminded me of when I saw Get Out.
I saw
that in a theater and I wanted to watch it 10 times. Like all I wanted to do was like stop people in the street and go, "Did you see Get Out? Let's talk." I saw that and Logan in a double feature. And as much as I loved Logan, all I could think about was Get Out for like 3 weeks. And that's how this movie landed with me last night. I saw the TV Glow. I just found it to be just a very beautiful and chilling. It's, you know, there's all sorts and it makes you think about 100 things. I loved it.
Oh, that's so cool. Let me just ask you, when you say there's a lot of people that shook their fist at the film, was that in the 1950s when you saw these people?
They were. I saw a guy in a pork pie hat with a press pass in it, and he was furious. He actually said, "Why I oughta?" He got it from the screening, said, "Why I oughta?" And he stormed out, went right into a phone booth, called his editor.
Right. That's what I was trying to think of, a phone booth. I couldn't think of the phone booth. So we got a texter, Jim from Appleton, one of our regular listeners, says, this guy Mike is awesome. He listed a couple of great Bakshi movies. Fritz the Cat is wonderful. Wizards epic. My favorite is still Lord of the Rings. Okay.
There you go. Just,
well, Jim, check out Mike's podcast, The 40-Year-Old Boy. Why don't you get a plug in there, Mike?
Well, eventually, but we're here to have a regular conversation. You can't be a plug machine from the jump.
Yeah, but this is like organic, the way this is happening.
Well, you know, I have a YouTube channel where you can get the archives of 14 years of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast.
Nice.
It's just youtube.com/the40-year-old boy, and it's the number 40 in there. So it's the 40-year-old boy. If you just Google the 40-year-old boy in YouTube, you'll find my channel. The show's available wherever you get all your podcasts. Spotify, you can get it at Amazon Music, you can get it on the internet, of course. And and subscribe. It's at Apple Podcasts. It's everywhere. You know, I'll admit we've been a little slow going recently. There have been some issues inside of my skull, but there's plenty of archives that you can check out from the 14 years if you go to the YouTube channel. And he's very nice. And also, I've never seen Bakshi's animated Lord of the Rings. I've heard amazing things.
Okay,
because I've seen. I saw the extended versions of the movies. I own them. I got them for Christmas one year, and they're just, I mean, that's a weekend. You just throw those in and don't go anywhere. I love it.
That's excellent. Thanks for the text, Jim. Yeah, check out Mike's YouTube channel and the 40-Year-Old Boy. Very funny. And great logo, too, Mike. I don't know if I ever told you that. I love it. You told
my
me
buddy
who designed
David.
That. Yeah, tell us who designed that again. It's great.
My buddy David Hernandez, who, you know what, I'm going to do this. He also has his own podcast called... the Phlegm Cat Podcast. The Phlegm Cat Podcast. That's two words, Phlegm, P-H-L-E-G-M, Cat, C-A-T, the Phlegm Cat Podcast. And he is the most talented person I've ever met in my life.
Well, there you go.
He can play any instrument from ear. He can play it from, you know, he can pick up a guitar, a bass, piano, drums, keyboards. He plays them all. He did my theme songs. He did my logos. He did all the merch when we had merch. He designed a tour poster when I went out. He is an unbelievably talented guy. And that logo is so perfect and so simple. Chinnery saw it once, our buddy Chip Chinnery. And because when he heard 40-Year-Old Boy, he's like, you've got to market this. Like, you need that. That's such an amazing branding opportunity. I'm like, I can't even do a podcast, a branding opportunity.
A movie that should never have had a sequel. It's on the stream. If you're watching on the stream, as I mentioned earlier, we are being preempted on the radio for the first hour of the show, thanks to RNC coverage, which is terrific here at Civic Media. We will be back on the radio at least at 8:05, and Gizmo the Magician will be here in studio. Very excited to talk to Gizmo about how he got his start. He's going to do a trick on the Air Force, which you can take part in. And we're going to have a little discussion about Houdini as well. But tonight's question is, what's a movie that should never have had a sequel? And you can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Sherry checked in on the stream. Hi, Sherry. I hope you're having a great night tonight. Thanks for sticking with us here through the coverage of the RNC. Maybe she's got both on. Sherry does that sometimes, doesn't she, Conrad?
She does.
Yeah, she kind of has both things going. She can't get enough of Civic Media, and I love that about Sherry. She's a very loyal listener. We had Steve checking in on the stream. He says, Rambo 2, 3, 4, and 5. Yeah, I agree, Steve. The first one, First Blood, not a bad movie, but I agree. The sequels can be a bit much. Okay, so now we are going to have... Conrad, tell us what we got lined up here.
Well, we're going to go to Frank Anderson,
how
creator
exciting
of Wisconsinology.
Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson. This is from a stint he did on the show a couple weeks ago. Frank is always great. Check out Wisconsinology.com. Roll it. what are you working on? Is it exciting stuff or is it just stuff to pay the bills or what?
Yeah, but both. Okay. And I don't know who's going to, okay, I'll tell you, I'll spill some of the beans.
Okay.
I have a lot of projects, but one that you might get a laugh at is I'm stop motion animating Gallagher talking, the comedian Gallagher.
Oh, wow.
Talking to Pauly Shore, you know, Mr. C-List himself. Extended conversation. They don't have any a video of the actual conversation. So I'm creating it in stop motion. It's for a documentary that a lot of really big comedians are a part of, and people like Dave Letterman and et cetera,
wow,
et cetera. That's one project I'm working on.
Well, that's really cool, Frank. Pauly Shore, you know, has ties to Wisconsin. We can talk about that, too.
Oh, can I ever? I'd love to talk to him. I'm sorry, I called him Mr. C-List. I mean, I'm Mr. F-List, so I have nothing to talk about.
I'm not even on
List. I'm actually beyond the fringe, on the fringe of the fringe.
The only list I'm on, Frank, somehow, is I still get church envelopes for the collection every week. Other than that, I'm on no lists.
Oh, my. Well, Pauly Shore, Mitzi Shore, and his father from Milwaukee.
Howard
Mitzi
Shore,
of course, is the mother of all L.A. comics, right? I mean, isn't she the den mom of the entire L.A. comic scene? Once again, a Wisconsinite going out there and being the very best at what they do or starting something brand new.
Conquering Hollywood, yeah. She went to high school, I think, in Green Bay, but she lived in Marinette and Menominee for years. And sadly left. I think they left because they were Jewish. Now Marinette had a number of synagogues and or temples back in the day, a surprising amount. I had no idea that many Jewish people lived there, but I don't think their experience was pleasant there. As another friend of mine told me, but, she grew up in that area, then went to Green Bay. And then, as you know, went to UW-Madison and, blessed us with Pauly Shore.
Yes, she did. And all the other comedians, every other.
Yeah.
Of note.
She got the, I understand she got the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in the divorce with Howard Shore.
What was his name? This wasn't Howard Shore, was it? No, Howard Shore is the composer.
Oh, really? Mitzi Shore.
I can't think of, I thought it was his name.
Let's Google on the radio.
Yeah, Google on the radio right now. It's a punchy comedian's name.
Yeah.
Howard Shore led the SNL band and scored Lord of the Rings trilogy and Ed Wood, among many other motion pictures.
Sammy Shore.
Sammy, of course. Sammy Shore.
Yes. Why did I think it was Howard? Howard's a good show business name, too. Though.
Well, that's okay. Howard's a great, one of my favorite composers.
So there you go. But what was the other project you were going to say you were working on, Frank? I didn't mean to steer you away from that.
Oh, the other one is one I had written, and I still can't talk about
it. Oh, okay.
October 11th.
All right.
I'm free from my, I might be free from everything, October 11th. But you'll be the first to know.
Pete, you need a co-host?
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun, Frank.
Oh, we're on the celebrities, right? Celebrities.
Yeah. And before, let me add one more thing, Frank. Sorry. I just pulled, because I pulled that up when I found out Sammy Shore, and it says right on Wikipedia, Mitzi Shore, born July 25th, 1930, Marinette, Wisconsin. So there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the kind of factoids I love.
Me too. She is a Wisconsin love letter.
Everyone knows Mitzi Shore. Everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Legend. Yeah. Not that many people know Sammy Shore.
No. So we have a fair amount of celebrities from Wisconsin. We've had great celebrity sightings here. There have been some good movies.
Have you talked about the Brat Pack?
Extensively. Last night, that was our question. Who are your least and most favorite members of the Brat Pack? And we've talked about the... unless you're saying you're making a play on words.
Yes. Oh. The Brat Pack. Not the Brat Pack.
Okay, no.
The Brat Pack.
You're talking about the Johnsonville family.
Are, of course, the hardest working character actors in show business, period. Willem Dafoe, Tony Shalhoub from Green Bay, and Mark Ruffalo.
I love that.
And they're the Brat Pack. And Wisconsinology on Facebook saluted them by creating a fake picture of that famous New York magazine cover that said the Brat Pack. But I put Tony, Willem, and Mark in the photo.
I love it. So that's your creation.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it stick.
I love it, Frank. That's great.
And Brat Pack adjacent would be, do you know Mark Rylance?
Oh, I feel like I know that name.
He starred, also known as the greatest living stage actor in the world.
Really?
He lives in England, but he was raised in Milwaukee, and he has a Wisconsin accent.
No way.
Yes way. They didn't know where he was from when he left Milwaukee, age 19, 20, went back, auditioned in UK for parts, and they had no idea where he was from. So they just wrote down Irish.
So,
but he would be Brat Pack adjacent.
Okay. When mm-hmm. How old is he? Is he still with us, or is this a guy that's passed away? Or?
Mark Rylance is 61, 62, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but he graduated in the 70s.
Oh, he's great. 70s. I love this guy. Yeah,
he's huge.
Oh, he's a phenomenal actor. All right, let's pick this up. Let's pick up the talk with I would put him in the Brat Pack, Frank. This guy's got crazy.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue,
welcome back to Nightlight, broadcasting live statewide tonight, as usual. Our question tonight is, what movie should never have had a sequel? So far, we've heard from Steve, who says Rambo. Well, Rambo, because they made 2, 3, 4, and 5. What was yours, Conrad?
Space Jam. The second one was awful.
And I would agree. A couple weeks ago, I read that John Tucker Must Die is having a sequel. They're making a sequel to that film, which was released in like 2002, got not so great reviews. Everyone's old. They're writing that into the story, but still, why on earth would that become a franchise? Why would they make a sequel for that? So that would be my answer. So let us know what yours is. Those of you listening on the stream, we will be back on the air live on the radio throughout the state at 8:05. Gizmo will join me in studio. A local magician who does great work. We're going to talk about Houdini. He's going to do a trick for us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Conrad, do you believe in magic?
You know, I do.
Do you? Good. That doesn't surprise me. Right now, we're going to go to an interview we had last week, a really fun talk with a local guy who's just full of energy and has to be because he is the communications director of the EAA. Here is part of my talk with Dick Napinski. I know how busy you must be. I can't even imagine, you know, how your life must be leading up to this event. I was just looking at some of the information. How does Northeast Wisconsin handle 700,000 people?
Well, very well, actually, when you come down to it, Pete. It is something, you know, we have people, first of all, they camp next to their airplanes. We have thousands of them who camp next to their airplanes.
That's so cool. And then
we have 40,000 who camp right adjacent to the flight line. They drive in, they pitch their tent, bring in their motorhome, their campers, and so forth. Then a 50-mile radius, use university dorms at UW Oshkosh and down at Marion University and out at Ripon College. A lot of people rent their homes. There are hundreds of people who rent out their houses for this event. And a lot of them have ended up meeting friends who they've gone overseas to see their newfound friends or people that have been staying in their house for 10, 20 years and so forth. So it is a marvelous piece of choreography and a marvelous piece of cooperation that allows everybody to come in here to Oshkosh and make the world's greatest aviation celebration.
That is really impressive. And it gives me hope that Green Bay will be able to handle the draft in 2025, because there's a whole bunch of people coming here for that too. So I think if Oshkosh can do it with EAA, Green Bay will probably pull it off one way or the other. Maybe they need you to coordinate things. But all right. So Dick, how did you get connected with this event? How long have you been with EAA? And for someone who's never been there before, what can you tell them about the event and why they should go?
Okay, well, I'm kind of at the opposite end of never having been there before. This is number 32 on staff, and I think 36 or wow. 37 overall. So I remember back in the late 70s when it was about half the size it is now. But, you know, it just was one of those things. I come out of actually the broadcast side, and there was just a quirk of fate that I was looking for something back in 1992. They were looking for somebody to join the communication staff at the time. It kind of folded together at that point. And after that, it just became, well, you kind of gets in your blood a little bit. And then you enjoy aviation and enjoy the people and kind of stay there. And really, that's part of it, Pete. Our founder, Paul Poberesny, used to always say, people come to this event for the airplanes, but they come back for the people. And the people wow. You get to meet people from around the world, a lot of friends. We call it Aviation's Family Reunion because you see people you see once a year. You share those stories. How's the family been? All of those type of things. And one thing I really like about it is you can be in the campground and you can have a CEO camping next to a welder. And neither one knows what the other one does, nor do they particularly care because they're both there for the airplanes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great things about the event. There is a culture there that, look, regardless of politics, regardless of background, regardless of what your job is for 51 weeks a year, here we're about the airplanes. And we welcome people to come join us and do that. And if you've never been there, just think of a place that is an aviation city that has a collection of people and airplanes that really come together no place else in the world like this. Oshkosh is the biggest one. It's one of the few like this, and it's the one that everybody talks about around the world.
It's really impressive. I remember my dad used to go. He used to be a pilot, he would get so excited about it. And I just, you know, if you're a pilot, you love it. And I know there are people that go that aren't pilots that just are fascinated by the aircraft. And that's where I fall in. Are you a pilot?
I am. Yep. I started flying back in 1996, and it was kind of fortunate EA had ground school you could take as being an employee, and took that and then went for an introductory flight. And yeah, I was hooked. And so, you know, that's as they say, well, you got the disease now, you're done. And and so you end up hanging around airplanes and earning my pilot certificate. And it really has led to some a great accomplishment in your life. Any pilot will tell you that first solo flight or that first one you go out after you earn your certificate is something special. You know, you get to fly your spouse or your kids or your mom or something like that. And just, you know, mom is always a little wary because she's going, really? This is the kid who wouldn't pick up his room and right. Now he's doing this. So, you know, those are the kind of things that take place. But, you know, people coming in here, we'll notice that. So if you like airplanes or if you like technology, if you like history, heck, if you like the people watch, this is a great place to do it because there's so much happening all the time over 7 days.
That's a great answer. Dick, last year there was a couple accidents at the event. How do you guys deal with that? Is that ever, from a PR standpoint, do you ever worry about that? Or is everybody there? You know, is it such a solid branding you guys have done that they know that's part of the drill and those things can happen when you're flying around like that?
Yeah. And the first thing, you know, in the couple of accidents, they're always tragic when those type of things happen. And it's, you know, definitely not a good day. I can tell you that right. straight away, you know, from a communication sense. But the one thing you have to look at is what happened there. And pilots are a unique breed. They will read the NTSB reports and go through them and say, okay, what did that person do that maybe I can learn from? Huh. And what can we as an event do that we can learn from? One of the sightings took place 5 miles away from the mountains. You know, we're still not sure exactly what happened there and what was happening with the pilot and the aircraft at that time. And so that is something that we look forward to seeing that final report to say, okay, what do we do? What can pilots learn from this? What can we as an event learn from it? And we end up working very closely with NTSB and FAA and the airport and everything else to try to mitigate that risk as much as you possibly can. But as everybody knows, whether you're driving or boating or riding a motorcycle or heck, even out on a bicycle, there is some risk involved in it because things happen very quickly sometimes.
Indeed. And that's a great answer. And I find it almost uplifting when stuff like that happens, as terrible as it is, people always somehow come back to the idea that they die doing what they love. They would do it again. They just want to fly and they know the risks. So that's kind of like, it's kind of like a you only live once type philosophy, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of that, you know, in aviation, it's a pursuit of something that takes you beyond the usual day-to-day life. Right. Less than one half of 1% of all of the American population has a pilot's license. And, you know, when you think about that, that's a very interesting segment. And a lot of people think of piloting for airliners or in the military, but there are a lot of ordinary people like myself and like people who may live right in your neighborhood who just love flying. There is something about it. You know right. People who own Harleys and, you know, that they live to ride. You know, people who are runners and they live to run. Well, that's the same thing with airplane people. It is their passion. It is something that that machine is special to them. The things they can do with it and the way they can travel with it is special to them.
It's something else. What do you have a favorite? My guest, by the way, is Dick Nepinski. He is the communications director for the EAA event that takes place in Oshkosh later this month. Dick, what do you have a favorite part of the whole event for you?
Oh, man, I tell you, a couple of my favorite parts, Pete. One of them has to be the honor flight that we have every year on Friday of the week. American Airlines donates the airplane and the crew. They're all volunteers. They're crew members, the flight attendants, the pilots, everybody volunteered their time. And they send one of their 757s or 737s in, and they take 100 Vietnam veterans off to Washington, leave early from the
wow.
airport. And then they come back right at the end of the air show that day, after a day in Washington, D.C. Now, you've got to remember, the Vietnam vets, they really didn't get a really warm welcome when they returned home when they were 19 years old back in the early 70s.
Right.
And to have 40,000 people waiting for them to cheer them when they get off that airplane, you know, it's an emotional moment and one of my favorite moments of the entire week. Another one of my favorite moments is usually after the air show. You know, right about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock, the airport closes for the day. And just to walk around and look at the airplanes, photographers call that the golden hour. The light is just right and everything else.
Yeah.
Then you start talking to people and just, where are you from? How many times have you been to Oshkosh? You know, and did you fly here? What's your favorite airplane? Things like that. And just get into conversations and just learn some things and take some time and just kind of let it wash over you a little bit and really appreciate this unique event and what it means not only for aviation, but for the Fox Valley and Wisconsin.
The EAA takes place this year, July 22nd through the 28th. You can find more information at eaa.org. Dick Nepinski is my guest. Dick, do you have every year, you know, you must see so many cool different aircrafts. Do you have a different one every year that you really get excited to see, or is it the same every year? From an aircraft standpoint, what are your faves?
Oh, man, you know, I've got some personal favorites. I always say my favorite airplane is whatever one I happen to be flying at the moment. but you take a look, one of my all-time favorites has to be from World War II, the P-38 Lightning. You got the twin tails, and it was very, very fast. It was the airplane of choice by Medal of Honor recipient Richard Vong, who was from northern Wisconsin near Superior. That one is just, ever since I was a little kid, one of my favorites. You know, I take a look at some of the old biplanes that come in here from the 1920s and just so lovingly restored, and the wood and fabric and wires that come together to make that airplane. And it, you know, flies at a grand speed of 80 miles an hour full out. But you know, what an, Wow. What a fantastic way to fly, open cockpit like that. Those type of airplanes just fascinate me. There's one that is from the early 1950s, an airliner. It's called the Lockheed Constellation. It's got kind of a dolphin back to it, a triple tail, perhaps one of the most elegant airplanes ever designed. And it was very, very popular as a passenger airliner for about a decade until it was overtaken by the jet age. But you know, there are only a couple of them flying now, and they are just so wonderful to see. And then you see just goofy ones. Last year we had NASA's Super Guppy, which is a cargo airplane that looks like somebody left the air hose in too long because it just kind of blows up on the top, and they use it to haul rocket parts from NASA. And it's kind of a pound puppy of airplanes. It's so ugly, it's cute. And, you know, it's sitting there, and it's only been here twice, but each time, I mean, it's been a rock star. People just look at it and go, wow, that thing flies? And they go, yep, that thing flies. You put a big enough engine on anything, you can fly anything. And that's the point.
That is so cool. If you have a family, Dick, and you wanted to take your family out to this, from a price standpoint, how does it compare with other events going on? Is it affordable? Do you have discounts or anything like that?
Yeah, one thing we did that's made a big difference over the last 3 years, with help from Boeing Company, 18 and under are free of charge to come in because nice. We want to introduce aviation to young people. So families can come in and really very affordable. You know, you think about going to a Brewer game, what tickets cost. You think about going to a Packer game, what tickets cost these days with parking and everything else. You know, so we try to make it affordable, and we do measure against other activities in the state, whether they're, you know, Wisconsin Dells activities or sporting activities or Summerfest State Fair and things like that. And we're right about the mid-range of things. So it is affordable for the family.
That's great. Dick, I have two more questions for you. Can you hang for 1 minute?
Be happy to. Thanks.
All right. Dick Nepinski is my guest. He is the Director of Communications for the EAA event, which takes place July 22nd.
Love. I get so lost sometimes. Days pass and this emptiness fills my heart. When I want
to, you would never know. With the music we are playing in and out of breaks, that we are not live on the radio right now and only the stream. If you're listening on the stream, great to have you. We will go live in about 10 minutes with Gizmo, who will be here in the studio doing some radio magic and talking about his career and Houdini. It's going to be a really fun talk that's coming up at 8:05. You can still get in on the fun of tonight's question, which is, what movie should never have had a sequel? Conrad's dad weighed in. He says, all the Rambos. Conrad says, Space Jam, I Say John Tucker Must Die. There are a whole bunch of films you can choose from that should not have sequels, though, if you want to get in on the fun. Right now, we are going to play part of an interview I did recently with syndicated columnist Greg Schwem. His blog on Tribune Media Services is called The Humor Hotel. Greg's a very funny comedian and a great writer who is now in syndication, and a really fun interview. This is an interview that I did with Greg just a couple of weeks ago. An article that I thought was great about cinema, you called it cinema fatigue syndrome. And that one is great because, man, who can't relate to that? Tell us what cinema fatigue syndrome is.
Cinema fatigue syndrome, I coined that because I cannot stay awake during a movie. I can't do it anymore. I don't, you know, it's got to be, if I stay awake, it's got to be so good, or I have to have somebody with me who's constantly poking me. Because, I mean, most movies I watch, I mean, and we're not talking, when I go to the movie theater, hardly ever. I mean, I can't remember the last movie that I saw in a theater.
Right.
But, so, you know, you watch them all at home, you stream them and so forth, which means you dictate how you're going to watch them. You know, you go to a movie theater, you sit in a seat and that's what you get. But, you know, you go at home, you got your couch, you got your recliner, you got whatever. And I don't care how good the movie is. The minute I get in any sort of a horizontal position, I fall asleep. And I just can't. Unless it's like a true crime drama that, you know, I like those on Netflix. So maybe I can stay away for those. But even then, it's tough. But like the last movie that I watched was Oppenheimer. I mean, you got to pay attention during that movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's about a billion characters in it.
Yes.
And, you know, I woke up. I only missed like 5-7 minutes. But I still was like, okay, did they drop the bomb? Did they build the bomb? Where are they in the bomb making process here? So, and it just, it never stops. You watch movies at night and I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you obviously can relate to that.
I can. And this is funny. First of all, I haven't had a drink in a while. I think cocktails in my experience tended to contribute to that. But even now, like my wife and I watched a movie about 2 years ago now, and she fell asleep, I swear to God, in the opening credits. And as I'm turning it off and getting up and getting ready to go to bed, she wakes up. I'm not kidding, Greg. This is what she said. She missed the entire movie. She goes, "So what happened?" No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to paraphrase the entire movie for you. Like, but you're right. I've done this several times where I'll fall asleep, I'll wake up, rewind it a minute, then fall back asleep, rewind it a minute again, and I know I missed something pertinent, and I cannot even stay awake for a minute. It's terrible.
Right, right, yeah. I thought you were going to say that your wife said, that she fell asleep during the credits, and then she woke up and she said, "That was really a good movie." I thought that's where you were going with that.
No. But the worst thing, too, is now you go to theaters, and I think you alluded to this in your article, you can recline the seat, you can put your feet up, you know, it's like they're trying to help you fall asleep. It's like someone should come in and put slippers.
You can bring blankets in. That, to me, is the ultimate. You can bring your own blanket in.
Yeah, and here's a Tylenol PM, too, just to solidify the deal. I mean, my gosh.
Exactly.
It's insane. How often, Greg, when you write, like, do you have a process, or do you get up every day and say, "I'm going to write for 2 hours," or do you write just when you feel an idea or something you can relate to in pop culture?
I think the second one. I think that's what that kind of hit in the head. I've never been somebody who can just sit down and write. I mean, I'm working on a book now, which is almost done. And that'll be when I'm on your show the next time. It will be done.
Okay, cool.
And we'll talk about that and how I came to write it. But I think I just write when the mood hits me. And when I do write, I can't have any distractions. Like I've never had a TV in my office because I don't want it. I don't want background noise. I don't want music. Some people want all that stuff. My daughter used to do her best studying, according to her, when Harry Potter movies were on in the background.
Oh, come on.
Put one on and then she'd study. Well, that works for her. I could never do that.
I couldn't do that either.
Utter silence. I need total silence.
My son used to do that. He got much better grades than I ever got, but he would listen to music. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to tell him not to do that when I'm like the solid C student? You know, it's like, oh, okay, Dad, any other life hacks you can share with me, you know, that you've perfected? Hey, you mentioned, I forgot to ask you about this. Steve Jordan, did you say he was playing with the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the drummer.
He's the guy, he used to play in Letterman's band, right? Like back in the mid 80s, I think.
I don't know. I always thought the drummer was that guy, Anton Fig.
He was.
Was the drummer, but maybe Steve Jordan took over for him. I don't know. I always remember when Letterman's band was in their heyday. It was Will Lee on bass. Anton Fig was on drums. I can't remember who the guitar player was.
Okay.
And of course, Paul Schaefer driving the band. But I know that guy's had a very storied career as like a studio musician, too.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a phenomenal drummer. That name rang a bell. What was I going to ask you? Oh, you mentioned Hacks in an article. The show Hacks. Have you been watching that?
Yeah. Have not seen season 3 yet, and I need to start. And you know what? I can get through those because they're only half an hour.
Yes. I was going to recommend Vines to you, but they don't even make those. Those are like 9 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Well, YouTube Shorts is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
That'll hold my attention.
I don't